Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Yes, I did not stutter. We are back. We are back. We had a busy fall and winter, but we are back to get you going for the 2023 PGA DFS season as they kick it off in Maui, as usual, for the Century Tournament of Champions. 39 golfers in Kapalua. We'll break it all down for your DraftKings needs and more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'll take full blame for the time off. That was 100% my fault, but that was just a work thing. Like, literally, I didn't have any energy, and I appreciate you letting me have a little bit of time off. Dude, I mean, how long have we been doing this?
I know. I looked back. I think it's like 4 years at least. Maybe close to five.
And for that first year, we did it every single week, and even on off weeks, we were talking about something. Yep. And maybe for the first couple of years, I mean, and the PGA season, like, it just doesn't stop. You don't get any time off, extended time. Like, December is probably 1 month, a year, or whatever. I'm not bitching about it, but sometimes you just kind of get, like, I don't know, mentally drained. And I feel like taking a little bit of time off. I played a little bit in the fall, but I didn't, like, go heavy on anything. And so I'm ready to get back into it here for this next season. There's nothing better than Honolulu in prime time.
Yep,
I guess it's Maui in prime time.
Maui in prime time. Next week's Honolulu.
Correct.
I played every week, 20 maxes, at least the normal field events. I dropped notes in Discord for those that were paying attention, but I was not, like, hardcore into it either. Like, I enjoyed the break. I took a break from baseball for like a month. Like, I just kind of turned everything off for a bit.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot when I take a break from baseball. So I was enjoying the break well. So yeah. it was no big, I love these fall events, but they're also kind of like, it's weird. Like, I love having these kind of the Corn Ferry dudes coming on and everything, but with the lack of dudes from LIV, it still felt weird. Like, it's like, it really depletes those tournaments. There was some, it felt like we're in the Puerto Rico Open way too many times.
Right. I agree. 100%.
It was kind of like where they used to be cool events now. And then they're kind of forcing big, like, all of a sudden Tony Finau's winning the Houston Open. Tony Finau wouldn't play the Houston Open. Like, let's,
right.
Like, these little events, it's totally like a weird deal, but hey, it's fun. We saw, like, Andrew Svensson won this off season. We saw a couple other dudes that got it done that we've been pulling for, and then some other young guys just kept putting good weeks together. So, as usual, we'll do the Century TOC. 39 golfers, would have been 40. Rory didn't come, but he doesn't play. He's only played this once in his career. So we'll get to that. It's no cut event for those keeping track at home, so we don't condone cash. We'll just get that out of the way now. Like, don't be crazy. This is just literally GPP boom or bust. Play the odds games. We'll talk about strategy at the end, like we always do for the no cut events. But it's going to be fun. It's a fun field. I'll just get into it. The course preview. It is Kapalua. It is a great golf course, a plantation course at Kapalua. It's a par 73 because only three par threes and four par fives, which is big. Actually, five par fives, I believe. Now I just said that out loud. It's four par fives. That's right, four par fives. But it's a super long course, but it's kind of deceptively long. It's almost 7,600 yards, but super undulating, lots of elevation changes. These are the ones where we saw DJ drive that par four and almost hole in one it. The 18th is a 611-yard hole, easily gettable in two because both shots are, like, sloped so much downhill. Wide, wide fairway, so you can just grip it and rip it out here. Greens are huge, so three-putt avoidance is big. You shouldn't worry about scrambling too much because if you can't hit the greens, you're already pretty much screwed. Weather is usually the biggest deterrent out here, but it looks like it's going to be beautiful. Last year we saw, I didn't give you your run.
You're fine.
You have past history, but we'll get this. This is what happens. We don't go for a while. I just keep in the zone.
A little rusty.
But it's an easy course. It's a gettable course. I'll let Jesse tell you what the scores usually are, because that'll explain how easy these courses are. But the biggest thing you need to know is you can do driving distance. I don't think you need to do driving distance because the ball rolls out so much. It could help guys, but the fairways are so freaking wide. I think approach game is more important, and being able to knock in some putts and get hot with the putt or, like, flat stick, you know, luck is the way to go here. But we'll get into some more of that. What do you have for past event history for the Century TOC?
Yeah, last year, Cam Smith, now of the LIV Golf persuasion, Shot 34 under, which is the tournament record. That might be the lowest ever on the PGA Tour as well. One shot over John Rahm. The year before, 2021, Harris English, 25 under in a playoff over Neiman, also on the Live Tour now. 2020, JT, 14 under in a playoff over Patrick Reed, Live Tour, and Xander, maybe Live Tour? 2019 was Xander, 23 under, one shot over Gary Woodland. 2018 DJ, Live Tour, 24 under, eight shots over John Rahm. And then JT's won this twice. He won again in 2017. Jordan Spieth, past champion. And that's pretty much it as far as what's pertinent to this week.
Yeah, Jesse mentioned like Cam Smith shooting in the 34 unders. Most of the scores, winning scores will be in the mid-20s. With the conditions the way they are, if these guys get hot, you may see 30 again. Like, these guys should pepper this place.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, you'll see comparisons to TPC Deer Run and Augusta because of the elevation and the slopes there. So some guys correlate and play well there. I think this is literally like who's got the hot approach, who's got the hot putter. That's pretty much what this boils down to for me. The one thing I will mention when we talk about this is debutants or first timers usually do not fare as well here. That's usually a thing. Problem is, we have some really good first timers this year. So I'm kind of like hesitant to just cross that off the list. I think we might use it as an angle here and there. I think I'd rather use the ownership numbers a little more so than the debutante thing. But we do have also, obviously, we have 39 golfers because you should just be the tournament of champions, obviously, in the name. But now it's if you make the final 30 in the BMW, you automatically get in. So there's like nine golfers that got in that would not have gotten in by winning last year. So keep that in mind as well. Plus, we lost some guys because of Liv. We could have even a bigger field, all things considered, right, this week. All right. Well, I think I covered everything as I screwed up the start there, but I think we got everything. Let's get into the DK scoring. This is where it gets fun. We have only three guys over 10K. We have two, actually, because Rory's not in this event. Scottie Scheffler at 10.3 and John Rahm at 10,000. Jesse, who do you like up here?
I mean, from an like one of the good things about doing this on a Tuesday instead of on a Monday, we do have some ownership numbers in. Looks like Rahm will be higher owned, maybe the highest owned in the in the whole tournament. So bear that in mind. I do like John Rahm. Obviously, second here last year, has never finished outside the top 10 since 2018, and is playing really good golf coming in. Won the DP World Tour Championship back in November, which is the last time he played. Fourth at the CJ Cup the week before that, or his tournament before that, and then before that, also another win at the Open. I'm just going to say the Spanish Open. Obviously playing really good golf. He deserves to be the highest owned. Play either one of these guys. Scotty is, I think he's okay. He, has lost his putter a little bit, and that's what is kind of sketch to me.
Yeah, I can see that. He played a little better towards the end, but there was a stretch there where Scotty kind of lost everything, I felt like, for a bit. So it'll be interesting. One thing I will mention is we will use past stats and everything, but obviously these guys have been kind of sitting around doing the hero, right, and whatnot, so we don't have all the stats and Euro stats and all that, but Rahm's the best. We'd say it all the time. Like, literally, if I had to pick a fight, it's kind of between him and Rory right now, because Rory's kind of proven that again, and Rory's not here. So it's Rahm's tournament, and right now early ownership projections have him near 35%, which is there's three guys over 30%, and he's the highest one. But and Scheffler could be the leverage. He's coming in at 16.5 at this point in time. So if you're spending up, which you definitely can in this kind of a field in a no-cut event, Scheffler could be your pivot, but you could just take Rahm and get different elsewhere. Like we always talk about, he's elite. If you do look at his past times here, you're second, seventh, 10th, 8th, 2nd. So no worse than a 10th at this event in the last 5 years. He loves this course, plays it very, very well. So no problem going Rahm. He'd probably be my first as well if I had to pick between the two. 9K range, though, you got JT, who you mentioned has won this twice at $9,900. Patrick Cantlay at 97, Xander at 95, who has won here as well. Morikawa at 94, Finau 93, Fitz 91. And I will say that this is Fitz's debut at this tournament.
Right. Obviously, Justin Thomas, two-time winner here, hasn't finished outside the top five since 2018 at this tournament. Played a little bit during the fall swing. He hasn't played a competitive round technically, and they did play with Tiger, and then also played in the father-son. Yeah. But like, as far as like uber competitive. I mean, those are just fun things to play in since October. So it early in this season, it's really difficult to like go off of past stats because there's going to be equipment changes, and then there's also, you know, swing changes that guys are working on and so on and so forth. So just, I mean, more than anything else, course history for this week matters. And that's why JT is number one for me there. Cantlay, he's had a pretty good run the last 4 years here too, or the last three. And if you include 2018, was a decent finish, but 4th, 13th, 4th, the last three. And then Morikawa hasn't finished outside the top 10 here in his previous three starts, which are only three starts. So those are the three guys I'm going to focus on here out of the six.
Yeah, JT's fourth in my model. Again, what's that really matter at this point in time? But he rates out for what I'm looking for. But you mentioned his successor last 4 years, T5, third, first, third. That's pretty damn good. So, and we know JT, and one thing about this tournament I didn't mention is they've upped the purses for these events. Like, these boys are getting paid come here. That's why a lot of these guys, like some of these guys just don't come, and then some, now they're all coming. Like, we have 17 of the top 20 in the world or in this event. At least, you know, factoring live guys out of the top 20 thing. I'm going to phrase that every time because I think there's got to be a way to get them back. They're still great golfers, but that's a whole other discussion for another day. But JT is by far the best one up here for me. Going to be super popular. He's over the 30% threshold as well. You mentioned Cantlay plays pretty well here, and so does Xander. So I don't mind any one of them. Morikawa, 5th, 7th, 7th. Like you said, nothing worse than a T7 in three events here. One thing I'll mention, as you mentioned, swing changes and equipment changes. There'll be a lot that comes out. We'll talk about Tom Kim in the next bracket. He joined Nike, so that's new. Not really equipment, though. But Morikawa, he has a new Stealth driver he was showcasing today. So that's something to monitor, new driver in the bag. And Finau, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Jesse.
I was going to ask you if you saw it. Yeah.
That swing.
I'm not sure what the fuck's going on there.
He was hitting it well, but that looks like a dude that has like a back problem or something. Like, he totally like cut that swing in half. Like, Rom does it because Rom's explained why he does it. He's got the foot and all that stuff. Like, why would Finau do this? He's one of the hottest golfers coming into this new season.
I'm not sure. I haven't, like, I saw the video today. I mean, obviously it's one swing, so who knows? Maybe he was just practicing something in that swing, but if that's how he's going to swing now, that's drastically different than the way he was swinging.
Yeah, that makes me want, like, and obviously these guys are the best of the best, and I'm not going to say that he could walk out there and win with that swing, but it's like, if you're going to grasp at straws, this type of thing, it's like a new swing is going to be the easiest to find a hole in real quickly to have to fix again. So that's the concern I have if you have to like do it. But talking about the, you know, early, and the good thing about this event, it goes late. Like, for Jesse, he can be having dinner when this thing tees off. I'll be, you know, just chilling. The sun will be going down here when it tees off on Thursday. So we'll get to see things change. But currently, Morikawa's 17%. He's the lowest in this 9K range. And, you know, if you're not worried about the driver and your work, and we know how good he is and how rough his season was last year, he's definitely a dude that would not shock anybody if he caught fire at this kind of an event.
What do you?
And usually one of his problems is off the tee. Well, this thing's wide freaking open now.
Doesn't matter.
So,
what kind of ownership you got on Cantlay at the moment?
It's at the moment he is 31. Or no, he's JT's 27.7. Cantlay's 31.2. Xander's 31.1.
Yeah, I mean, if you tell me that Justin Thomas is going to be less owned than those three,
yeah,
who are you going to play?
JT for sure, 100%. Day in and day, like I'd be cool with starting out with the JT Morikawa combo because you already got the lowest of that combo. Yeah. Plus, you have Morikawa coming in low. That and you're fading Rom, which is dicey, definitely dicey. But I think Morikawa is a fun one. Just for fun, since you know this would be a quick show if we just went through the list. We're talking about in the 9K and above. You got Morikawa coming in low owned. And Scheffler coming in low on, who would you take out of the two? Just Morikawa because of price, or do you have a preference?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on your lineup construction or whatever, but I would rather go Morikawa.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning to.
Just purely from the course history. I mean,
yeah,
three straight top 10s here, better. You know.
That's pretty solid. Impressive to be able to get out of bed and do that. And then the one guy we didn't talk about, and I'll give him some love because Fitzpatrick's awesome. Everybody knows how much I love Fitzpatrick. I play him all the time. Usually better in not so heavy birdie events. That's usually his forte. That's what kind of worries me about this. But he's coming in, you know, he's playing great. Obviously, U.S. Open champion. But you get to like B&W, 48th. You get to some of these events where you got to go low and he doesn't really get there. The Masters, though, he finished 14th, if you believe in that correlation. He's going to come in.
But 14th is like what? Like six under at the Masters or something?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's a low, low thing. And he's only 12% projected right now, so he's super low owned. I think I might go low owned elsewhere. But he's a guy I'm going to look back on closer to lock and see where things are going with him, because I think he's still good enough. It's just he does not go low enough to do these kind of things. And that's the concern with Fitz.
All right.
8K range now. You got Willie Z, 89. He was injured towards the end of last year, so someone to monitor. Almost went to live a few times, it felt like. So we'll see where he goes. Did get a W at one point in time. Cam Young at 88. Tommy Kim, one of the hottest golfers on the planet on the fall swing at $8,700. New daddy Max Homa at 86. Victor Hovland, who won the Hero at 85. Sam Burns at 84. Sungjae 83. Spieth 82. Matsuyama 81. Harmon 8K. As you'd expect in a field like this, Jesse, play whoever the heck you want right here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great range. Obviously, this is kind of like a major type of range, right? Because you got some really, really, really good golfers in this range. Zalatoris, I think, is playable. I'm showing that he's going to be low owned, which kind of surprises me a little bit. I know, obviously, he's coming off the injury or whatever. Hasn't played since he WD'd from the BMW Championship and has never played this event, which, like you said before, the other thing about Zalatoris is, you know, I mean, can he get a hot putter? You know, yes. I mean, he can, but is he the guy that I think of when I'm like, you know, birdie fest, just make every putt. Cam Young's the other guy, first time here. I think he's fine. Tom Kim as well. But Max, man, at 8,600, another first timer. I mean, it's just first time range. I think he's fine. Sam Burns, dude, I feel like Sam Burns is going to have a big year. Like a real big year.
He's coming in super low on it looks like right now. Yeah. I'm talking about a bomber without having to worry about
right. I don't know if you've listened to it or not, but No Laying Up had a really good it's supposed to be a season preview. I only got like halfway through it and they were still talking about last year. But I mean they have really good content to begin with, but they were going through the winners last year. And you know, obviously he won twice on the PGA Tour last year. I feel like it's just a matter of time before he wins a major. So Sam Burns, and then kind of an odd person, Brian Harmon. The only reason he finished third here in 2018, back-to-back second place finishes in his last two events, been playing well, a short hitter, you know, Brian Harmon, but he can get a hot putting stroke going. His ownership is a little bit more inflated than what I would like, but either way, I think Harmon is kind of sneaky here. I mean, my two favorite ones are going to be Burns and Harmon.
Yeah,
with like, the three or four, you know, debutantes above that.
Yeah, it's weird because like Cam Young, bomber, Kim. Like the thing is, if I had to pick between Zalatoris, Young, and Kim, I'm picking Kim. I think everybody's doing that though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I pick my logic behind it and take it for what you wish. Is it's been a first time for him everywhere he's gone, it's and true. He has just not stopped him one bit.
Yeah,
like he's just running through everything, even the big fields. He was on the FedEx Cup playoffs. He was dominating. Like it did not matter to him at all. So that kind of pushes. Like he went to the President's Cup for Christ's sake. Like the dude came out of nowhere. I kind of lean him out of that group as talent wise, form wise, kind of give a shit wise. Like you can tell he obviously wants to keep getting it done. He's not comfortable at all. So I think that's an interesting move there. I'm always a Max Homa fan, kind of. You know, he had the baby. The Hero was ugly, but the Hero, who knows if he even cared about that. He was playing golf with Tiger Woods. Like, I don't think, you know, his personality, he probably gave zero shits about playing the Hero. So right. he could be a fun one too. But I love the Burns call. Like, you know, again, model doesn't matter, but over the last 24 rounds that I have on this, he's first in putting in this field. He's sixth in the proximity you're looking for. Seventh in three putt avoidance, what you want. You don't want to get those bogeys. You want at least two putt or better. He's bringing it and he just bombs the ball. So I think Burns is a great call. I like the Harmon call, especially if you use correlations, TPC Deer Run, where John Deere is. He dominates that course. So that's a great spot for him. The ones I'll mention, though, Sungjae's coming in super popular. He's a great fit. He's going to be like people are talking about him a ton. When you look at his projected ownership, he's 22.5. He's the highest in this range. So
I got him at 28.5.
Oh, he's even higher in yours. And yeah, like he's everywhere I turn, he's like the cover boy or the guy where they're highlighting everywhere. So, and I get it. I get it. When he's hot, like he could easily, and he can go low. He's a bird, is a par five machine.
I will say one of the lessons we've learned over the last couple of years is just because somebody's high on him doesn't mean you don't play him.
Yeah. Because there's so much good content out there. They're popular for a reason.
Yeah. There's way too much information now available at people's fingertips. there's a reason why people are popular. And we talk about it all the time here, like play the chalk and then get different elsewhere. Yep. It's more difficult in this type of event. And in a no-cut event, I would lean more towards, like, let's fade the guy who's going to be high-owned.
Yep.
But for future reference, like, I've decided this year I'm just going to play all the damn chalk. So you probably want to fade it, really.
Yeah. In this, well, in this field, possibly. Now, the two that I'm kind of going to – Spieth is there. Spieth, we know, plays great at Deer Run, plays great at Augusta. He's actually third in this field in par five over the last 24 rounds, which you want to torch the past par winner. Fives. Past winner. He's played really great here. So he's a guy – still has decent projected ownership, so he's not going under the radar, like I'd hope. Could be interesting. The guy I always come to when he's low priced and projected low ownership, because I'm a sucker for a guy that I know that can get hot with his irons, that's Hideki Matsuyama at $8,100. Like, I always sit there, I look at him, if he's going to come in low owns, dude, one of the freaking Masters. He's one of the best golfers in the world. He scuffles. Like, he scuffles. We know he does, but he's also a guy you can see just turn it on at any given moment. So, like, when we talk about getting different, to me, that's where I get different. A guy that I know can win, not like picking a 6K guy that struggles.
He had a really good run the first 3 years here. Third, second, and fourth in his first three appearances. I guess the only really, like, is his neck okay or whatever?
Yeah, see, I don't know. That's the million.
And that's why he's going to be low on.
Yeah, that's all the questions we have. Like, these guys, Willie Z's knee. How's Willie Z's knee doing? Like, Hideki's neck. We don't know any of this. Like, because that's the one thing we complain about all the time is, where's the beat reporters in golf? Where are you guys at? Like, really? Like, you guys are all over there. We see you guys in the pretty pictures. Like, get some, ask the questions. Figure it out. So, that's where I'd go. That's the one that intrigues me is Hideki at $8,100 because Harmon's more popular than I thought he'd be. Spieth's getting ownership. M's getting a ton. No one's really playing Hideki. So that stands out a bit for me. 7K range. We'll do it all together. Horschel at 79, Connor 78, Henley 77, Adam Scott at 76, Keegan 75, Aaron Wise at 74, Thigala 73, Power 72, Straka 71, KH Lee 7K. We're going to start seeing more and more debutants as we move down, of course. But what do you like in this range?
Russell Henley, decent course history here. He hasn't played here since 2018, but 17th that year. 2015 finished third, 27th the year before that. So they got that third place finish in 2015, which is what really sticks out. He won this past fall. I loved him at the CJ Cup and did not play him at that WWT, whatever the fuck that was. And he goes bogey free and wins the tournament. So Russell Henley, I think, is playable. Adam Scott, man, I mean, played here four times. You know, has one finish inside the top 10. Played a lot in the fall, at least a lot for Adam Scott. I think he's playable. Thigala, talk about him every week. I just play him. He's kind of just an auto play for me. Come off a second place finish at the RSM, but he's never played here.
He also won that partner at QBE.
QBE, correct? Yes, that's correct. QBE shootout. Him and Tom Hogue.
I think so. Yeah, he's got a belt.
And then last is KH Lee. He just kind of tends to show up in these birdie fest events. He did finish 33rd here last year, which was his first appearance. And has played well in the fall swing. So KH Lee is another guy who's on my radar there, 7,000.
Now, when we say fade chalk, this is where I'd fade Seamus Power at over 20%. This is where, like, Seamus can play, but if I got to pick my chalk to play and chalk to fade, this is where I start fading chalk. So just keep that in mind, people. I got him at 22.4.
See, I got him at 18, and they got Aaron Wise at 23.
See, that's what sucks because I have Wise at 17.3, and I like Wise a lot.
I mean, it's probably in that range. I mean, I think probably, 17 to 25 maybe for a while.
And I don't know what the updated Fantasy National like because it said it's so far away. This could have been like a first look thing. But Wise, I like a lot. I think this Heath call is very good, especially if he's going to come in lower owned. I like that a lot. Coming in, playing great golf, always grinder. We know he can go low. We know that for a fact. We've seen it many, many times. And great at three putt avoidance, which is what we care about. Other guys I got in this range, I like the Adam Scott call a ton, another guy coming in low. So Scott and Thigala would be kind of my two guys I'd really look to target. But, KH Lee's coming in super low. He loves those TPC courses. He can go low with the best of them at these kind of events. So this is definitely a range where you can start to get different, start to differentiate, eat some chalk up top, and have some fun down below. 6K range, small range. Mackenzie Hughes at 69, JT Poston 68, Stallings 66. Did you see the Scott Stallings thing, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Pretty good. Yes. Tom Hoagie at 65, Svensson at 64, Reavy 63, Spawn 63, Molinac 62, List 62, Brem 61, Ramey 6K. What do you like down here if you're going down here?
Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid it if at all possible. I think JJ Spawn is playable at 63. Yeah, he had a pretty good fall swing there. Back-to-back top team, top 15 finishes. Obviously, was a winner this past year on tour. I think he's okay. And then Mullinax at 62 as well. He did WD his last time. I'm not really 100% sure on that. But anybody down here is going to be low-owned. Looks like Ches Reavy would be super low-owned, and Brim and Ramey. I mean, you know, these are types of guys that maybe if you're playing 20 or 150 lineups, you're just sprinkling a few of them in. I don't have any hot takes on anybody down here and don't really love anybody.
Yeah, most of them, when you come down here, past history isn't ideal. Most of them haven't played here before.
Right.
So you kind of got both those things going against you. But if you have to look at certain guys, I like in events like this, Tom Hoagie coming in playing well. He's first in the proximity range. Like, he's a great iron player, phenomenal iron player. So if he can find the fairways, which he should just fine, he could be a fun one if he gets the hot putter. I don't mind him if you want to get frisky, but, you know, avoiding putting. List is a guy that can bomb one, but yeah, that could be trouble with the putter. So pretty much I want a Hoagie. And if you think Scott Stallings can keep that form going, we saw, that's a dude. He was playing phenomenal golf towards the end. Phenomenal golf. So he could be another one to look at. And if you're looking at ownership down here, Svensson's coming in chalk. Hoagie's coming in massive chalk. And Mullinex, because Mullinex finished good too in the fall swing. He played really, really well. So pretty much the guys that were playing well are getting the love. So just work around those three and take whoever you want, pretty much. Otherwise, 7K and above for the most part for me. All right, recapping things, Jesse, as we do as always. Let's just combine 9K and 10K together, because we all want John Rahm in the 10K range.
Right.
So let's just do 9K range. We just skip the 10K. We want John Rahm.
Yeah.
9K range, who are you taking?
JT.
Yeah, if I'll let you, JT would be my pick, but I'll make a second pick for the listeners. I'll go with Morikawa. That really is his tournament history, because I'm with you on with the time off and everything, current form. I think past event is huge in this one. So give me Morikawa. 8K range, who do you got?
Burns.
I love Burns too. We're on the same page on this one. So if I don't go Burns, I guess I'll take my stand on Decky. I think that's scary. That's to be determined. That's in the Discord, folks. I'm going to say it right now, because if something comes out news-wise, that's going to change quickly. But if it's not Decky, I'll take two. Tom Kim. I think he's still the real deal. 7K, who you got?
KH Lee.
Okay, you went different there. Good. I'll go Adam Scott. I like that move a lot down there. And then 6K if you got to go.
Let's say Spawn.
I'll go with Stallings just because Hoagie's so chalky. Like, that's 22.5% projected, maybe different elsewhere, but that's a lot of chalk for 6K guy. So I'll go with Stallings on that one. All right, we're not doing cash. If you're building a GPP lineup, Jesse, who are three guys you think you'd start out with?
I got JT, KH Lee, and Burns.
I'll go with Morikawa, Matsuyama, and Adam Scott. Pencil around it, even though, like, I think Burns is, we're about to get to where I want to see what Burns' numbers are. Any final thoughts before we do DK picks, DraftKings, like, picks to win?
No.
All right. Let's get into the picks to win as I have them pulled up here. And on a small field like this, you'd imagine the odds aren't great, which they aren't, but Burns at 22-1 stands out big time.
Yeah. I like Burns there at that number. You know, this is a difficult field to bet because it's so small. And I mean, with John Rahm at 6.5-1, that just limits the rest of everybody else. I mean, JT at 11-1, in my opinion, is valuable.
Horrible in this field. It's right. Not bad. One thing I'll point out, because a lot of people like to compare prices to DraftKings prices to odds. Hideki and Aaron Wise are the same, not priced the same on DK. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. The market thinks Wise should be higher as well, so maybe there's something there. But Tommy Kim at 25, I wouldn't be shocked, let's put it that way. Where was the other Adam Scott at 45? I think he's in for something this year, so he wants to play a lot more golf, and if he's focused on playing golf, actually, he's a pretty damn good golfer. So that'll be interesting to see, because in the past it was like, he plays like 7 events a year, flies his private jet around, shows up, you know, finishes T20 and walks away. Now he cares. So there's something to this. I don't know if he's losing sponsors, like no watches. Or speaking of which, is Justin Rose not in the top 30 anymore? I just dawned on me right now.
No.
Is he went that bad last year?
Yeah. You mean OWGR?
Yeah. because this is all top 30 guys from the BMW. And
well, I mean, it's not winners. So it's not by world ranking, but he definitely didn't make the top 30 as far as
I'm just trying to figure out where he is now. The FedEx for sure, he wasn't in the top 30,
right?
But man, he's falling quick. I just thought sponsors because Adam Scott's always sponsored out, and
he's down to 76th in the world.
Wow, when's he going to live? He likes money. We know this, we know he likes money.
I think he already took the stance against it, though, if I remember correctly.
Probably because he likes his sponsors more, you know, his watches and all that. He's
making
stuff.
I mean, he's on every other damn commercial, so
that's true.
Yeah,
probably wants to keep that going. You know who we need at this event? They need a sponsors exemption. Like Ricky Fowler needs to be in Hawaii at all times. Just gonna throw it out there. Just like at least let him do the coursework with Smiley Kaufman now, so the boys can follow the guys that are still playing good golf.
Ricky started playing better golf for
the in the fall. Yeah. He started playing much better golf.
He's not in the top. He's not in the top 100 anymore.
Oh no, he's not. But he started Woodland playing
not to fall out of the top 100.
Yeah, and he started playing good towards the end, it felt like, too. So that'll be a fun year. Like Sony next week, we'll talk about it then. But usually guys that play this event fare much better at the Sony more often than not. But that'll be our first full field event, cut event coming up.
Yep.
Always a fun one. Always, I'll never forget when they had the bomb scare and almost people were in their bathtubs and stuff. That was a wild one. But this is the week we get to see like JT and Spieth in the canoes out at the kayaks and stuff and all that cool stuff because they're loving life and the plantation course and, you know, all that good stuff. But
I'm with you.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up Century TOC? No cut event. Like, have fun with it, but I'm revving up for Sony. I reserved a 3-max. I'm going to play 3-max this week and then I'll rev up for Sony next week.
I think it's kind of the way to go. You just kind of, you know, wouldn't dump a whole lot of bankroll into it. But we also have Junkies Golf League, if anybody's interested in getting into that. I've retweeted it. I'm sure you've retweeted it. So it's on Twitter, and it's basically just a season-long DraftKings deal. The rules are up there and good payouts and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
It's the OG. It's the original. You guys started
that. And Bubba fresh off a second-place finish in football. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I've done 2 years ago. I did well in golf, not so much last year. So
I've never done well in it. So
try to get back. Well, I have a strategy that's starting to work in both these formats. So we'll see if it continues on. But we'll have some fun with it. And if you guys have any questions, ask either one of us. We'll help you out there. But more importantly, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BDentric, and this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Catch you guys later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.